This morning we're going to be in Nehemiah chapter 4 for some amount of time. I have no idea. I'm just going to be honest with you. I have no idea. This message has flip-flopped two or three times between Nehemiah and Ephesians. And so we're going to look at it this morning to see what God has for us. And so we want to seek His kingdom first, as the song said. There's so many times that's not the case. And today we want to make sure that that's what we do. And so I'm going to start reading this morning in Nehemiah chapter 4 in verse 1. So if you'd read along with me. But it so happened when Sanballat heard we were building the wall that he was furious and very indignant and mocked the Jews. And he spoke before his brethren and the armies of Samaria and said, "What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they fortify themselves? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they complete it in a day? Will they revive the stones from the heaps of rubbish, stones that are burned?" Now Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him, and he said, "Whatever you build, if even foxes go up on it, he will break down the stone wall. Hear, O our God, for we are despised. Turn their reproach on their own heads and give them as plunder to the land of captivity. Do not cover their iniquity. Do not let their sin be blotted out from before you. For they have provoked you to anger before the builders." So we built the wall, and the entire wall was joined together up to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. Now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, and the Arabs, and the Ammonites, and the Ashdites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were being restored and the gaps were beginning to close, that they became very angry, and all of them conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem, create confusion. Nevertheless, we made our prayer to our God, and because of them, we set a watch against them day and night. Then Judah said, "The strength of the laborers is failing, and there is so much rubbish that we are not able to build the wall." And our adversaries said, "They will neither know nor see anything till we come into their midst and kill them and cause the work to cease." So it was when the Jews who dwelt near them came that they told us 10 times, "For whatever place you turn, they will be upon us." Therefore, I positioned the men behind the lower parts of the wall at the openings, and I set people according to their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and arose and said to the nobles, to the leaders, and to the rest of the people, "Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, great and awesome, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses." And it happened when our enemies heard that it was known to us that God had brought their plot to nothing, that all of us returned to the wall, everyone to his work. So it was from that time on that half of my servants worked at construction while the other half held their spears, shields, the bows, and wore armor, and the leaders were behind all the house of Judah. Those who built on the wall, those who carried burdens, loaded themselves so that with one hand they worked at construction, with the other they held a weapon. Every one of the builders had his sword girded at his side as he built, and the one who sounded the trumpet was beside me. Then I said to the nobles, the rulers, the rest of the people, "The work is great and extensive, and we are separated far from one another on the wall. Wherever you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there. Our God will fight for us." Let's pray. Father God, we lift up your word. Lord, we know that you were with them as they built that wall. And so, Lord, we pray that today you speak to us through your word. Let us know that you're with us today as we stand and fight and build that wall. Lord, I pray that you would take this time, be glorified, speak to each of us what we need to hear. In your name we pray. Amen. There was a lot to read there, but it gave the story, and I wanted to make sure that we had that understanding. Many of you probably already know that story, that passage. But Nehemiah is beginning to, they've come back out of captivity, and they're going to build the walls of Jerusalem. And so they set it up to do that. They had had permission, but there was always this one person, Sanballat, and others, Tobiah, that were against them. And they set out as in opposition to do everything they could because they did not want the Jews to be able to rebuild that wall. And so they were against them from the beginning. And they come back, they had permission to build the wall, and so they began to work, and there was a lot of work there because everything had been totally destroyed. So they come back and they get the wall in process, and they had to basically more or less stand with a sword in one hand and a trowel or whatever they were working with in the other hand. And I say all of that because what they set out to do was to glorify God in the path that He set before them. Their path, Nehemiah's path, was to set out to rebuild that wall because that would glorify God. I want you to stop right now and ask yourself, what path has God set me on to glorify Him? Now, a lot of times we don't ask ourselves that question. We will say, I want to be in God's will, but I don't really know what God's will is for me. I don't know exactly what He wants me to do. Well, we know we can read the Bible and it tells us what His will is, but we don't know specifically maybe. Well, the more we get into His Word, the more He makes it specific to us. But today I want us to look at this passage, and yes, it's in the Old Testament, and it's one of those passages that we don't really look at a lot, but I want us to see that that's exactly where we're at today. You're building some kind of a wall. God has you on a path to glorify Him. I'm going to start out with this phrase, and I'm going to probably end today with this phrase. You are either for Him or you are against Him. The Bible says you're either gathering or you're scattering. You're either building a wall for God, you're either on the path to glorify God and do His will, or you are against Him. So you're Nehemiah or you're Sanballat. Now everyone in here would say, well, surely I lean more towards Nehemiah. I feel like I'm doing more for God than I'm doing against Him. But if we stop and we look at our life, are we really? Because if we're sitting back doing nothing, then that's the same as being against Him. These men, as they're building this wall, these people had an opposition. It was Sanballat, it was Tobias, it was the Ammonites, it was the Arabs, it was all those people. They had so many people against them. Everything they did was all around them. They told them 10 times, hey, anywhere you look, we're going to be there. Man, it was overwhelming for them to know that there was that many people against them. I want you to understand the opposition you have today. Because we don't have thousands of Arabs and Ammonites, and we don't have this Sanballat and Tobiah. We get in our mind that we have that person at work that doesn't like us. We have that person on the team that doesn't like us. Those people that don't want to hear about Christianity, they're always against us. That is not your opposition. Many times we think those people are our opposition. Those people that make our life miserable. I'm trying to do what God wants me to do, and these people are trying to do anything and everything they can to make my life miserable. They are not your opposition. Your opposition is Satan himself. Now, many times we don't like to think about that. We don't like to think about the fact that we are fighting Satan, that Satan is fighting us. That's a thought that we don't want to look at. But we can go over into Ephesians chapter 6 and it will tell us to be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the devil and his schemes and principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. And it tells us all those things. But something we need to get from that passage ties into this passage. Is we are facing Satan. I'm going to read some references here that we're not going to go to all of them. But the devil himself, when we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, those people that we can see, Luke 11:15, rulers of demons. 2 Corinthians 4:4, he's the god of this world. Ephesians 2:2, he's the prince of the power of the air. He is the one that fought out against our God. And since he can't win against our God, he's already lost at the cross, at the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the power of Satan was defeated. But he still has power in this world. And if you and I don't believe that, then we're going to lose that battle. We need to understand that that's our opposition. And like I said in Ephesians chapter 6, you can turn there if you want. We're going to be back and forth, so you might put a finger both places. But in verse 10 of chapter 6, it says that we be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might to put on the whole armor of God and stand against the wiles of the devil. You ever think about what the wiles of the devil are? More verses. It's schemes, basically, is how we would understand it probably. In Zechariah 3:1, he's opposing God's work. In Matthew 4:6, he's perverting God's word. In 1 Thessalonians 2:18, he's hindering God's servant. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, he's obscuring the gospel. In 1 Timothy 3:7, he's snaring the righteous. In 1 John 5:19, he's holding this world in his power. That's straight out of Scripture. He's doing all those things. He is all those things. He's the principality, the powers of darkness. And he's fighting against you. Many times today, you and I don't win the battle because we don't know who we're fighting against. Well, I can be prepared to deal with that person when I go to work or when I see them in the hallway or meet them at the coffee shop. I can be prepared for what I'm going to say to them. Or I'm going to ignore what they say to me. I'll prepare myself before I go into that battle. We lose our battle because we don't understand who we're fighting against. We have to understand that the opposition is against us all the time. That armor that it tells us in Ephesians 6 to put on, many times, and he, as he's writing this to the Ephesians, he's probably sitting there in prison, and he's looking at this Roman soldier, and he sees all the armor, and he knows all the armor that this guy has on, and he's relating the things of God to that armor. But there's something you and I do kind of like that, that we shouldn't from this passage. Because they would put on that armor when they go out to battle. But that armor needs to be put on for a lifelong stance. Many of the soldiers, they would take that all off. Except when they went into battle. Man, I know that we're getting ready to go into battle. When David was going to go fight Goliath, he was needing armor, and so they were going to put Saul's armor on him, and it was too big. And so what's he do? He takes that armor off. But he only tried to put it on right before he went out to battle. That's our problem, is we try to put it on right before we go out to battle. Because they knew when they were going out to battle. They would have one nation line up on this side of the valley and one nation line up on that side of the valley, and then they would wait and they would do their war cries and they'd eventually fight. But everybody pretty much knew when it was going to happen. Satan's not that way. It's subtle. It's deceiving. It's cunning. He's going to come at you in ways that you never expect. So you can't just wait till you see the battle coming to put on that armor. Understand your opposition. The next thing they did back in Nehemiah, it tells us that they were working, they were hard at work, they had a mind to work. Man, when I read that phrase, I wonder how many of us have a mind to work for God. Well, I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. I'm going to live my life, and I'm going to try to witness as I go through life to do to everybody I can. I'm going to try to do the best I can as I'm living my life. But our work, that mind to work, has to be purpose-driven. They were going to build the wall, but the reason for building the wall was to glorify God. I may go out and drive a truck, but the reason I go out and drive that truck is because I want to meet people to glorify God. I want to share the Word of God with people. We need to make sure that we have the mind to work. Even though they had the mind to work, it says in 10, the strength of the laborers is failing. There is so much rubbish, and we are not able to build the wall. And there's so much in that verse. They realized who their opposition was, and when we realize who our opposition is, that helps. We have to have a mind to work. But when we start working, there was just so much rubbish around them, it was impossible. They were not because of the battles. Those hadn't came yet. But there was so much rubbish that they were not able to do it on their own. So many times you and I think, well, I can fight Satan. I can do the things God's called me to do on my own. You've probably heard people say, God will never give you more than you can handle. That's a lie. That's a lie. Because God is going to give you so much that you can't do it on your own, that you have to turn to Him. If you could do it on your own, if you never had more than you could handle, then there would be no reason for the cross of Christ if you could handle it on your own. And so the world lies to us and says, oh, you can handle it. Pastor Steve, there's that verse in 1 Corinthians 10:13 that says, no temptation will seize you except what is common to man. God will provide a way out that you can stand up under it. And they take that verse and they twist it, and they take it out of context, and they say, see, you're never going to deal with anything that you can't handle. They take God out of the equation, though. They ran out of strength because they were doing it on their own, because there was so much rubbish. You and I start running out of strength when we try to do it on our own. You can go back to Ephesians chapter 6, and it says, you know, be strong in the Lord and in His power and the power of His might. It's got to be His strength. You can't depend on your own strength. It will not work. You can get up, you can get dressed, you can be excited, you can get out there and you think, I'm ready to take on the world, but you're not. You need to get up and get on your knees and tell yourself and admit that you have limitations when it comes to fighting against Satan. But Jesus doesn't. And so you depend on His strength. You rely on His strength. Your faith in knowing that He is going to be there, that He is going to be the strength that you need. They ran out of strength because of the rubbish around. How many times do we run out of strength because of the rubbish we allow in our lives? We allow that rubbish to, well, it's just a little bit. You know, outside one of the gates of Jerusalem, they called it the potsherd gate. And when a clay pot that the potter had made, when it broke, or when somebody's pot broke in their house, they would take it outside that gate and just throw it out there. That's how it started. A broken pot at a time. But you know what that turned into? The Valley of Slaughter. It was a gate that turned into a city refuse dump. One pot at a time. Because one pot's not going to hurt anything. One piece of rubbish in your life, that's not going to hurt anything. And the next thing you know, there's going to be something else in there that shouldn't be there. And something else in there that shouldn't be there. And before you know it, there's a pile of rubbish in your life that's going to weigh you down. And you're not going to have the strength to do what God calls you to do because you're fighting the rubbish. That's what happened to them. They tried to do it on their own, and they had so much rubbish that they couldn't do it. But then it tells us that they were going to do the best they could, and they were going to call on God, and they were going to depend on Him, and they were going to build the wall. But those that built the wall, they literally had to have a sword in one hand and a tool in the other. They were prepared to fight. I wonder sometimes if we're prepared to fight. We know in Ephesians chapter 6, it says that it gives us all this body armor, from a belt of truth to a breastplate of righteousness, to shoes shod with the gospel of peace, to a shield, to a helmet of salvation. Then it gives you one weapon, and that's the sword, the Word of God. But you know what, today, if you and I were in a battle and we had to use an actual sword, how well would you do? If you had to go into combat one-on-one with a sword, 6 to 12 pound sword, That's what they say they were. A 6 to 12 pound sword, and you're going in, and when it says we wrestle not against principalities or against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of darkness, that wrestle means face to face. So you are attacking your enemy. They are attacking you, and you're defending yourself. It's an offensive weapon and it's a defensive weapon all at the same time. But you and I couldn't just pick up a sword and go into battle. So why do we think that we can just pick up just enough of God's Word right at the last minute to win that battle? Because it's not going to work. They were prepared to fight. They went to work each morning with a sword strapped to their side. Whatever they did, that sword was there and they knew how to use it. Tomorrow, you're going to be confronted by somebody. I'm just throwing this scenario out there. You're going to be confronted by somebody and they're going to say the Bible is full of lies. They're going to say, this is not true. There's no proof to this. That it contradicts itself. What are you going to do? What are you going to say? Well, I'm going to call my friend because they know the Bible and they'll come over. Doesn't work that way. We need to be able to handle the Word of God. And not just take what somebody else says. Do not ever, and I repeat this, do not ever take what I say. I'm going to read it out of God's Word, and I'm going to say everything that I've prayed over and thought over and studied, but you need to take this home and check it out for yourself. Because if you ever depend on me for your religion, you are in trouble. I'm a truck driver stuck behind a pulpit. I'm a coach that has a Bible in my hands. Do it yourself. And I don't mean that hateful. I mean that with all the love I can muster. That it comes down to you and God in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And He gives you a love letter and the Bible, and He wants you to read it. He wants you not only just to know that He loves you, but He wants you to be able to protect yourself from the lies of Satan. Satan cannot get to God, so he's going at you. He's going at me. And the only defense we have is the armor of God. And the only way we have to fight him off is the Word of God. Well, I go to church, I listen, I go to Sunday school, I go to Bible studies. That's great. The Bible said, or I read years ago when I was in college, and I don't remember the percentages, but they said, when you hear the Word of God, you remember a certain percentage. When you read it, you remember just a little bit more. When you memorize it, you remember a little more. When you meditate on it, you remember more. But when you apply it, it becomes real to your life. Many of us stop at the hearing. Some of us move on to the reading. There are even more, there are some that do memorize, but it's getting fewer and fewer. And to meditate and to apply when it becomes real, that's when you can use it. That's when you can yield that sword. We need to make sure that we're prepared ahead of time to fight. Because He's prepared to fight you. He knows your weakness. I was listening to a thing last week, and this may seem like it's off the subject, but it's really not if you stick with me. There was two announcers, football announcers, talking, and they didn't like the idea that the injury report, somebody left somebody off of an injury report somewhere, and they didn't think that was fair. And the other guy said, I wish they would do away with the injury report. Because what that injury report does is it tells that defensive coach that offensive tackle has a bad right knee. Where are we going to attack? We're going to attack his bad right knee. Satan knows about your bad right knee. He knows my weakness. And that's where he's going to attack. So I've got to be prepared in advance to fight. And it's not something I can do in an hour on a Sunday morning. Sunday night, Wednesday night, Thursday afternoon, Wednesday morning before school. It takes time to where we take that word and it becomes a part of our life. Yes, there are always going to be people that are going to argue those things, and sometimes I say, let them argue. I don't have to prove God, but I have to know what I believe, and I have to know in whom I believe, and be persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. We have to be prepared to fight. Christians are losing the battle because we are not prepared to fight. They were prepared to build that wall. And they were going to do the best they could. They were running out of strength, but they were at least prepared to fight. But I love that last part. When they were scattered out, and it says that when you hear a sound, when you hear that trumpet, come running. Man, they could just blow the trumpet, and they knew people were coming from everywhere to help them. God didn't put you to build a wall by yourself. And there are other people that are wanting to hear that trumpet. They're listening. They're listening to hear that trumpet blow so that they can come help. God puts other Christians around us to support us and encourage us and to love us and to stand with us through whatever we're going through, because we are the hands and the feet and the love of God to this world. We're not alone, but not just the people around us, but because He's there and we can cry out to Him. We're losing because we're not prepared to fight. We're losing because we're using our own strength. We're losing because we're not prepared with the Word of God. And many times we lose because we don't call out. I know this is a man thing, but we just don't like to call out for help. But as Christians, well, that's going to show my weakness. Man, if I tell Natalie I need her to pray for me, that's going to show my weakness. We don't want to show our weakness, but yet God says that we're here to bear one another's burdens. We are going to fight a battle tomorrow. So why do we wait till tomorrow to put on the armor? God has called us to build a wall. I don't know what your wall is. I don't know what He's asking you to do. I don't know what path He has for you. But I know your opposition. And He's real. And He's going to do everything He can to stop you. And so it tells us in Ephesians 6 to put on the whole armor of God so that we can stand. And when we stand for Him. It says three times in that set of verses there, I believe, to stand. There's a part in there, and I want to close with this, where He talks about having feet shod with the gospel of truth. Like I said, He's probably laying there and He's probably looking at this soldier that's decked out in his armor. But do you know what their shoes were like? They wore some type of a I don't know if you'd call it a military boot, but it was like some kind of boot. But it wasn't just a normal boot. It was something that had spikes on the bottom of it. So that when they were able to stand, there would be no sliding back. They would be able to stand because those spikes would dig into the ground. And they would know that they have as firm stance as they could possibly have. If the ground was wet, they had spikes. They could stand because they knew the peace of the gospel. That's the understanding of that verse. When we have that peace, we can stand. And that's what He calls us to do. But He tells us there's a war coming and there's a way to win it. There's opposition coming and there's a way to fight Him. You have to be prepared. Let's pray. Father, we thank You and we praise You for Your Word, for the armor that You tell us about, for the understanding that we know we're never alone. Father, I pray for each one in this place. Lord, as we're going to go out and we're going to face so many different things, Lord, we need You. We pray that You speak to us encourage us, challenge us, whatever we need, Lord, that we would come to a place of peace with you. In your name we pray. Amen.